We'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 20. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten any more? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness. Only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. Daughter Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a cucumber field, like a city under siege. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations I cannot bear. Your worthless assemblies, your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now. Let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But If you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Well, there's a joke that goes around about a pastor who loves golf. You know, a golfing nut, was always looking out for the good weather to get out on the fairways again. And as it turned out, it was this coming Sunday, right? So this pastor decides to take a sickie. He decides to cut church. He gets one of the junior guys to come in. So on Sunday, the pastor travels to a golf course in the next town so that no one will see what he's doing. But an angel of heaven sees what he's doing, pursuing pleasure ahead of his flock. The angel turns to God and says, "You should punish that guy. So lazy, so self-serving." So the pastor, he tees off on this very long, long fairway, and it's a perfect stroke. That ball goes flying. That ball sails through the air. It goes further than any golf ball has ever gone before. It sails. It lands on the green. It rolls along and straight in the cup. it's impossible whole in one. And the pastor just jumps for joy. He's just, you know, tears in his eyes, literally going crazy. And then the angel, well, the angel's not impressed. God, why didn't you punish him for lying and skipping church like that? And God says, I just did. And then as that guy's jumping around, a voice from heaven booms out, so my son, who are you going to tell? Now, there's lots of jokes around like that. You know, a man hears a voice from heaven. A guy goes up to the top of a mountain to have a conversation with God. Little stories where God speaks. And that's part of the joke. But what's your expectation that God speaks? That you can hear his voice? Is this part of your struggle with God and Christianity? That God seems so silent? And I'm not ruling anyone out here. This can be a struggle for Christians, people with faith. Why is it that God seems so silent? Especially when life is hard. Perhaps you're getting bullied at school. Perhaps you're in a very hard marriage. There's very tough things going on with your kids. There's depression. There's cancer. Recently someone you love died. There was a prayer message that went around in our church just yesterday where friends of one of our families, in that family, a young guy has taken his own life. In all this, if there's a God who's mighty and powerful and loving, why doesn't he speak? Why doesn't he reveal himself? Why doesn't he come with a booming voice from heaven and talk to us? It's a fair question. You know, here at Christ Central, we talk about having a personal relationship with God. You can. But I also can't deny that in the midst of life, there's a type of hard, sometimes confusing thing that from God, there is silence. So the point of today as we look at this topic, the prophets, men of great voice, is that you'd be realistic and have your expectations set right when it comes to God, a type of silence, but that you'd be expectant on how God does speak. He does speak. He does. He's not silent at all. And I hope we would know that today. Now, we're doing things a bit differently this morning. You come to Christ Central any Sunday morning, really, and what you find our pattern is we work sort of step by step through passages in any book of the Bible. Please come next week, and we're starting this six-week new series on Hosea. We'll be like a six-week hike through the book of Hosea. But today we're sort of, rather than doing the hike itself, we're climbing up a fire tower and getting a lay of the land first of all, finding out what this journey is going to be like that we're about to embark on. This is Hosea prep day. And I want us to think about, while God can seem silent, in fact, he does speak. So Hosea the prophet. Now he's one of the 17 books in the Old Testament known as the prophets. Who were they? Well, if you open up a Bible table of contents, you'll see Hosea along with the others, and they're there on the screen as well for you to check out. The prophets to the nation of Israel. In fact, there were other prophets too, like Elijah and Elisha. And others too, but these are the ones that books of the Bible are named after. By the way, we're still, I reckon, waiting for a few of these names to come back again, right? Like, I've yet to meet my first Habakkuk. I don't know about you, but, you know, parents who are waiting, I reckon that should go on your maybe list. Habakkuk. But for these prophets, their life, their mission to Israel was in the time span of about 1000 BC to 400 BC. 1000 BC to 400 BC. These are guys from ancient times. So that's the prophets in terms of who they were. But we can drill in further into when they were. Already said 1000 BC to 400 BC. But we can actually sort of focus in more now. And we have something on the screen. This will be new, I'm sure, to some of you. I'll get into it and explain. But know this. These prophets are not giving random religious rants disconnected from anything. No, they come at a particular time when Israel is in great turmoil. It's a time when things are really bad, okay? If you're someone who thinks, you know, living these days, you know, culture, society, you're worried about where the world is going, you know, the world is going to pot, well, spare a thought for Israel living in those times. This is the period of Israel after the likes of King David, King Solomon, you may have heard of them. This is not peacetime and unity. This is civil war. This is rivalry. This is massacres. This is Israel divided into two. The northern part is called Israel. The southern part is called Judah. And just to make it confusing, we sometimes call all of it as Israel, but it is the time of Israel and Judah. It's two kingdoms with two strands of kings. It's like the state of origin with swords and spears, okay? There's so many things wrong with this time. Another thing is that, you know, little bitty scrawny Israel is now at the mercy of the two biggest thugs in the land. I hope you can spot it on the screen there, just at the top and the bottom, the nations of Assyria and the nations of Babylon. You know, if it was today, it would be like Israel would be like a little island in the South China Sea. On one side is superpower China. On the other power is superpower US. And Israel's squeezed in the middle. And Israel's like, please leave us alone. We just want to survive. And eventually, the northern kingdom Israel is wiped out by Assyria, never to be seen again. Judah survives for a bit longer. But then they're invaded by Babylon. They're captured, they're killed, they're pillaged. The Jerusalem temple is stripped bare. It's destroyed. It's a complete disaster. The people are dragged into exile. And you can read all about these events in the Bible. Now, the books of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. That's where you'll find all this. But just to say, this history lesson is about showing you the prophets are speaking into this terrible time. They're not giving us random religious rants. They're speaking because of what is happening. Now, in terms of the timeline on the screen, I don't have space to fit in all the names of all the prophets, but I'll just mention a few. First up, Hosea. That's next week, right? He's one of the only few prophets who speak to the northern kingdom of Israel. Isaiah. He was in the southern kingdom. You know, if prophets were trading cards like basketball players or Pokemon, you know, everyone would be swapping to get Isaiah, right? He's the biggest, it's the longest, it's the most famous, so many cool stuff happening in Isaiah. Now, here's another piece of trivia. You know, one of Isaiah's sons has the longest name in the Bible. His name is Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Put that one on your maybe list as well, okay? But there's Ezekiel, who was a prophet who went on a forced road trip, the March of Tears, when they went into exile into Babylon. There's Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the last prophet. There at the end, when a remnant group of Jews are allowed to come back to sort of resettle the land, Malachi's there when they're trying to sort of scrape things together, rebuild a nation again. That's just a few of the prophets. And the timeline, this time of history they are in. So prophets, who they were, when they were. Now, well, what they were. You know, when you think prophet, what do you think? You know, I personally think prophet and beard. You know, prophet's got to have a beard, right? Maybe dresses a bit like a hippie, a bit crazy, gives predictions about the future. Now, speaking of the future was part of what they did, but as prophets, they were messengers of God. God spoke through them, when life was hard for Israel, when their hopes and dreams for their life were just shattered, their job was to break the silence and let God be heard. But they were to speak about the present, the past, the present, and the future. And that's how I just want us to sort of get into the prophets and try to understand them now. The past. See, to understand the prophets, we need to understand, as the mouthpieces of God, they were to remind the people about the covenant they had with the Lord. A covenant, it's like an oath. It's an agreement. It's a pledge. Marriage is a covenant. You know, wedding vows, proper wedding vows, to express covenant. Like when Kirsty and I got married, it was like, I belong to you. And she said, I belong to you. You know, when God chose Israel and rescued Israel, brought them out of slavery of Egypt, that was part of the covenant. Relationships where this relationship where both sides had a role to play. I'm going to give you a quote from one of the prophets who I didn't put on the screen before, from Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived around the time of Ezekiel. This is in Jeremiah. It says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Listen to the terms of this covenant and tell them to the people of Judah and to those who live in Jerusalem. Tell them that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is the one who does not obey the terms of this covenant, the terms I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the ironing, smelting furnace. I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people and I will be your God. Then I'll fulfill the oath I swore to your ancestors to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you possess today. This covenant that God makes with Israel is the deal. God chose them. God rescued them. God loves them, planted them in the land. And the promise from them was that, yes, we will obey the Lord. And so God, through the prophets, is reminding them of this covenant. This is the covenant. So then God, speaking about the past, God speaks through the prophets to talk of the present. And so often the words of the prophets, it's not pretty. They had harsh things to say. You know, hope you sort of heard that as we're reading even Isaiah chapter 1. Because they spoke about judgment, God's judgment to Israel and Judah for their covenant breaking, their disobedience, their lack of love for the Lord, their hard-heartedness towards God who made them his own. You know, this land that's supposed to be flowing with milk and honey, it's sort of desolate. And there's bloodshed and there's chaos and this beautiful land is actually just fear because Israel, because Assyria and Babylon is breathing down their necks. Well, why? It's not random. It's not bad luck because God promised one thing but can't deliver on it. No, God is righteous. He is holy. He is faithful. He is delivering on his warnings. Now, Israel, you are covenant breakers. You're turning your backs on me. That's why you're facing this disaster. For one, they don't love the Lord anymore. They've swapped the true God for the religion and the idols of the nations around. They're idol worshippers. Now, all the prophets, they talk about this. Let's zero in on what God says through Isaiah, where he says there, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I'm the first and I'm the last. Besides me, there is no God. All who fashion idols are nothing, and the things they delight in do not profit. Now, this is their covenant failure. They love the gods of the nations around. They still want to go to the Lord's temple as well, you know, offer a few sacrifices, do a few rituals, sort of treat God like a poker machine. Just put a little bit in and then God will give us all these blessings. No, they can't treat God like that. But their covenant failure isn't just how they treat God. They're supposed to love God and they're supposed to love each other. This beautiful land was supposed to be its land of righteousness, of justice, of mercy, of compassion. But check out these words from Isaiah. We actually read them before from chapter 1, where he says, "Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." You know, the prophets, I'm sure they would not have made the easiest dinner guests. You know, because they had a job to do. To speak the truth. Cut to the heart of what matters. Do you know who they had a particularly condemning word for? Yeah, the leaders, the kings. Yeah, this was God speaking through the prophets. You know what they say, speaking truth to power. God doesn't care about prestige and status. He cares about corruption and justice. You know, I don't think the prophets would have made the easiest dinner guests. From our perspective, I've got to say, I think there's a fair fine line between being a prophet and being a complete nutter. Okay? Because, you know, I'll give you some examples. Isaiah was called on by the Lord to walk around Israel naked for 3 years. It was a sort of this sign to demonstrate that the people would be ashamed and stripped naked and taken away into exile. Or Ezekiel, like, he was like this performance artist doing weird things. At a time he was told to eat a scroll. I don't mean a cinnamon scroll. I mean like parchment. To eat these words of God as sort of this sign that he would speak God's word of judgment to the nation. These prophets, I don't think they would have been the easiest to get along with. But that's not the point. They were to speak God's words, this hard word of justice. And one last thing about what these prophets were, they were to speak God's words, yeah, about the past, about the present, and about the future. Maybe this is our image of prophets, you know, speaking this apocalyptic, you know, message, the end is nigh. Well, yeah, they did speak of future destruction. Exile, judgment for covenant breaking. But they also spoke of the day of the Lord, the last days, also in terms of future restoration. These prophets spoke of God coming to heal the land. Prosperity and goodness and healing. God and his blessing, his blessings would come. You know, so many times these weird, cranky, you know, prophets would actually speak very tenderly as well. I mean, like this in Hosea, we're going to see this. Hosea chapter 3, afterward the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They'll come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Or the last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi, speaks of a future time where it says, all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. The last days, the day of the Lord, the day that's coming will be terrible and wonderful. A day of blessing and peace and rest for all those who would turn their hearts back to him. You know, and trying to set things up a little bit for Hosea next week, I know I'm feeding you lots today. Maybe your head's spinning a little bit. I hope it's not spinning right off. But just as one more verse from the Old Testament, before we get to the New Testament, I want to say a bit more about the prophet Isaiah. You know, he did talk about the last days, and he talked about a saviour who would come, a saviour who would arrive. A future means the exciting arrival of one who would turn everything around. You know, I want to say, have you noticed that there's a bunch of movies out there that are sort of based on foretelling or prophecy about the future? I don't know if you remember that movie, The Fifth Element, where they talked about the foretelling, a prophecy of one to come. Or a little bit more recent, you know, The Matrix. Remember the foretelling, the prophecy of a saviour who would come? Do you remember who that was? It was Neo. Well, all those movies, they're just copying something from the Bible, from the prophets. Because Isaiah said this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. And Isaiah, he said so many more things, this precise foretelling about this one who would come, this kingly figure who'd arrive on the scene and bring blessing, and also come to serve and to suffer and die in the place of others. You know, the title, the prophets cover a lot of territory in the Old Testament. They're not just all the same. Maybe they didn't all have beards. Maybe they weren't all as crazy looking as the other. We'll see that next week that Hosea was unique in himself. But they were all men who spoke. And it was God speaking through them. Who in a time of despair in Israel, they spoke into that situation, the past, the covenant relationship with the Lord, God's judgment on them for their failure, but also which contained a word of hope, of restoration, that a new day would dawn. You know, we're not in ancient Israel, are we? We're just today. And I want to say it's right to want God to speak, because to speak means he's real. He's personal. He reveals himself. It's right to want God to speak. We should expect it. We just got to look in the right place. I heard this story. I heard a story this week of a friend. I didn't know this about her, but I heard the story that she had someone, a friend in her life, involved in church, in religion, who claimed that she had a prophecy for her. And that prophecy was that she would not live, to see 40 years of age. And I just want to say, talk about messed up. I mean, imagine someone saying, "I have this prophecy for you," and then having those words hang over your life all those decades. Who wouldn't actually have those words hanging over them? I just want to say, so messed up. And recently she turned 40. So cop that, false prophet. You know, this sort of prophecy sounds like astrology. Just making predictions. Prophets, you know, like that. Maybe they should be trying to make a killing on sports bet, okay? We don't want a bar of that prophecy, that type of prophecy here at Christ Central. Look in the Old Testament, these prophets, they spoke a powerful word of God to Israel to explain life and reality and their hearts, hope for the future. Ultimately, they spoke of one who would come. The one who would come from God. That is Jesus. You know, if we could just put that screen image up on the screen again. I just want you to see how the timeline is actually going somewhere. It goes to Jesus. In fact, there was this gap of about 400 years after Malachi, when there was no prophecy, just silence from God. And then there was one more prophet, actually like in the mold of other prophets as well. He was a pretty weird guy himself. His name was John the Baptist. And with Jesus right there in front of him, John was saying, "The one we've been waiting for, he's here, he's arrived, this is the one." I know I've been splashing a lot of passages up on the screen, but if you have a Bible with you, could you please turn to this one? It's in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is towards the end of the New Testament. It's just before James, just before 1 and 2 Peter. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. It says this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Just that first bit again, that first verse. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. You know, the prophets were amazing. Like, you know, God's posties, delivering the messages from heaven. But then came Jesus. And Jesus isn't God's postie, delivering one more of God's messages. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. In Jesus, God came to reveal himself direct. He came to reveal himself in the flesh. As we get into Hosea next week, we're going to learn all about Hosea. But you'll find we don't stop there, because we want to get to know Jesus. I want to say that life can be really hard, can't it? There are really awful things that come along. Being a Christian does not vaccinate you against suffering. And when pain and suffering comes, there can be a type of silence from God, in that we're not given all the answers we want. So I just want to say, please don't expect God to write a message in the sky. Please don't expect God just to bring this booming voice from heaven to you. But God does break the silence, in that Jesus came and Jesus taught and Jesus died. He died for our sin and our hard-heartedness, and Jesus rose again to defeat death and open the way to heaven for us. And Jesus rules from heaven even today, all to fulfill what the prophets said. And Jesus is to be heard and to be known and to be believed. You can come to Jesus by faith, but in the word, and this is the word of God that says, you know, that says in pain and suffering with Jesus, you're not alone. You're not abandoned. God is faithful. God loves you. God is committed to you. God wants to keep growing you. He has a future in store for you. You know, you meet people here at church and they'll tell you about their personal relationship with God. And actually, even tonight at Big Questions, we're going to hear someone give their own testimony of knowing Jesus. I just want to say, but being a Christian is not weird and wacky, as if we hear voices. It's not that magically suffering disappears and goes away, but there is relationship with Jesus, a relationship where we trust in him, where we follow him, where we listen to him, where we love him, where we worship him. There's the prophets. They're wonderful. But leaving them for dead is Jesus. In Jesus, we have God who speaks to us today. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for all of us and invite you to pray with me as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for that you are a speaking God. You're a God who reveals yourself. Father, we thank you for those prophets, incredible, amazing men who did amazing, sometimes weird things, but they spoke your truth. They spoke of covenant. They spoke your word of judgment. And they spoke of the future, which included hope, which included restoration, which included blessing again. Father, we thank you that you're a faithful God. You're a God who speaks, and you have spoken in your Son, Jesus. So, Father, work in us that we would be drawn to know Jesus, so that we would listen to him, so that we'd follow him, so that we would worship him. Father, you know what's on our heart. You know the suffering and struggle we face. But help us to know that you are good and you are faithful, that you are indeed a speaking God, that we might know your love in Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.